Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast, growing rugby one fan at a time.
What's going on, Rugby Rant fans? It is Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, and I am joined by two vets of the Rugby Rant. I mean, these guys, when we need somebody to come in and be the lefty, we need a reserve to jump in there and pick up the mantelpiece and throw some strikes and get some people out. These are two of the guys we call. We got Mike Parazzini and Daryl McCormick. How you guys doing?
Excellent.
Hanging in there, doing good.
Still buzzing from last night.
Yeah, and they're like on opposites, right? We got Daryl, who's got a team in town now, yeah. And Mikey, who doesn't have a team in town. I've got to ask you, Mikey, who are you rooting for? Scott declared his allegiance to, of course, the Chicago Hounds. Mike Parazzini, the Grand Poobah, is taking his talents to
the MLR. I'm going to pull the Rob Lowe. I think I'm going to pie a, you know, an MLR hat and just go, yay, sports. But I'll say this, before there was, you know, Rugby New York, I was a Legion supporter, and so I'll passively root for the Legion. They, you know, always, you know, a bridesmaid, never a bride. Hopefully, they, you know, they pull through this season and win one finally.
Yeah, look at Daryl sporting that that
right
Anthem shirt, right? That right. Is something special at the bottom there. Why don't you show people what you got?
Yeah. Yeah, the first 1,000 into the stadium.
What's it say at the bottom of the shirt under the A? We can't see it.
Move this down a bit.
There we go. This is not a dick pic, folks.
No, I'll keep it above that. So yeah, it was a show. And on the back it says "Let's play rugby" or "Time for rugby, Charlotte" or something like that. So
there you go.
Cool. So yeah, they gave out about 1,000 of those, and then they launched some more during halftime. So without the cannon, by the way, it was just some gals just winging it. So they did a good job. So yeah, it was
well, guys are some marrying girls out there that'll breed you a quarterback.
Yeah, man.
All right. So all right. Well, without further ado, we're gonna get a rock and a roll, and we're gonna get to a segment that we like to call Around the Pitch, where we bring you some maybe under the radar news in the rugby world in the United States. We'll be back in just a moment after these words.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
All right, we're back. And I want to, before we get going here, throw a special shout out to a good buddy that I've gotten to know this last weekend. For those that don't know, I spent the weekend down in New Orleans, at least part of it. I was blessed enough to be able to call the color on the NOLA Gold Old Glory game. I did okay. I think I graded myself at a C, but you know, if you have any constructive criticism, that will help. Should I get another chance, that's great. But I want to throw a shout out, more importantly, to my guy, David Terrio, or Dennis Terrio, excuse me. Dennis gave me this awesome jersey from last year, and I got it signed by Harley Wheeler, who wore it. So I want to throw a shout out to him. Thank you very much. Dennis, I appreciate it. It was wonderful meeting your lovely wife and yourself. We had a nice breakfast pregame. A lot of fun was had by all. But let's get into Around the Pitch, and we're going to start first with the Grand Poobah. What do you got, my brother?
So they released it, I think, the news last week, but Pacific Nations Cup Rugby is going to be back this year. So it's basically the, I would say, Western Hemisphere's version of the Six Nations, kind of, Tier 2, Tier 3. It's USA, Canada, Japan, Fiji, Samoa, and Tonga. And they split it up into two groups. So it's USA, Canada, Japan in one group, Fiji, Samoa, and Tonga in another. You're going to have one home game, one away game, and then it's going to be this year, it's going to be played, the championship is going to be played in Japan. Next year, championship is going to be played in USA. So switching on and off, everyone gets one, yeah, like I said, one, everyone gets one home game, and it's going to be free to watch on Rugby Pass TV. So it's great to see rugby is expanding throughout the U.S. I know rugby, you know, rugby and in general have been targeting both USA and Japan as kind of the future giants to come into the game. So it's good to see that they're getting their due, as well as bringing more rugby in a higher like limelight to Fiji, Samoa, and Tonga, who always do well, but never really get, you know, the credit they deserve. So hopefully it's going to, you know, a tournament for the ages.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty cool event. One of the things that I appreciate is an opportunity for us to really sharpen our skills and hone our skills against some pretty solid rugby playing nations. Quite frankly, it's another opportunity for USA Rugby to get away from that damn Flow Rugby, which costs the rent is just too damn high, if you know what I'm saying. So that's good to hear. All right. Without further ado, Mr. Daryl McCormick.
Yep.
Charlotte, Rugby Carolinas is the fan group, right?
Yeah, Rugby Carolinas, that's the Facebook page. Yep. Since I've been following the league, which was 2018, I've always been kind of interested in the kind of more the behind the scenes, what goes on to put this all together, get butts in seats, basically. And having followed different teams, I saw different strategies and whatnot. So one of the things I found out about Anthem is that all the ticket sales, all the marketing is actually run by the stadium, the American Legion Memorial Stadium. And so what happened is that they were very, very efficient. They were really aggressive. I got a phone call from the ticket office asking him, you know, what's the plan on going and blah, blah, blah. But in the past, like what I saw at other teams, people were trying to reach out on social media, like, hey, I'm having trouble getting this ticket online. Who do I talk to? No phone numbers, no contacts, no nothing. People were really struggling. With these guys, they had their act together. They had phone numbers, people to talk to, live humans. And not only that, they were able to tie into Carolina Rugger Fest, which was this past weekend in Charlotte. They do it every year. Hundreds and hundreds of kids, teams from everywhere, they tapped into that. They got a lot of the kids to the game. And then last week they sent out an email saying, hey, just FYI, folks, we're moving everybody to one side of the stadium. You'll have your same seat, same, you know, same location, same section, just opposite side of the stadium. And I think that played out huge. I said, good on you, because it'll show better on TV, which it did. So it's kind of a little behind the scenes that I kind of find interesting. But so far, those guys really, really did a good job. And I think the fans kind of showed that in their numbers and their enthusiasm.
Yeah, smart marketing makes a world of difference. And it sounds like they really did a nice job in getting folks into that stadium, because it did show really well on TV. I certainly appreciated that. And I'm going to get into my around the pitch. I'm not sure how low on the radar this was for anybody, but I think it's monumentally important. Just announced today, deadline.com. It's a little bit more of like a Hollywood type of website, but to their article as of 3:04 today, by Jesse Wittick, I believe is the author's name. The title of the article is Chicago Hounds Subject of a docu-series from the MLR and Goldfinch about the growth of rugby union in North America. Goldfinch is a British independent finance and production company. They produce on, they're going to produce on an American Access docu-series, All Access docu-series. This year it's going to be about the Chicago Hounds. They're filming the first season, and the whole thing is a 10-year commitment, and it's going to be called Stars, Stripes, and Scrums, The American Rugby Journey. Owners Peter Burnick from the Chicago Hounds and Matt Satchwell have been negotiated the deal along with Nick Benson from the MLR. So kudos to all of them. I mean, you know, after we've seen Amazon's All Blacks, All or Nothing, TRN doing Behind the Scrum several years ago, Netflix Full Contact, excuse me. Prime, Mud, Sweat, and Tears Rugby Premiership is coming out soon. And we know how docuseries can raise the visibility of, you know, sports. And I think it was really smart marketing to do that and get the MLR involved. And no doubt the Chicago Hounds, it's going to be fun to be a part of that, or at least watch it on a very close level. So that should be interesting to see.
Nice.
So with that, that's around the pitch. We hope you picked up something new that you didn't know before. If we did, we did our jobs right. And speaking of doing our jobs right, I want to remind everybody, you guys can jump in on Super Brew Rugby Rant. I think NOSAFAR is the code. So jump on. Look, everybody has a bad week. You can get in and still win the prizes at the end of the month, especially if you're a real sharp shooter. 18 weeks, plenty of opportunity to win yourself some prizes. And even at that, you can win yourself a weekly prize of $25 gift card. So jump on in, Super Brew. That would be Rugby Rant podcast. And then NOSAFAR is the code. Speaking of weekly winner, I want to announce the first week's winner from week one of the MLR, and that is congratulations to Lachlan Charlie. Week one winner, $25 gift card coming your way, courtesy of Rugby Now Power Shop MLR. There is gear available. Teams are bringing it in. We got Houston, we got Chicago, we got the Free Jacks, we got, I think, LA dropped. So a lot of stuff is dropping. Go get your gear now. Thank you very much to Rugby Now for playing your role and your part in bringing us Shop MLR. It's awesome stuff. And Lockie, my son's roommate, congratulations, mate. Mm-hmm. All right, with that, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with the Rugby Rant in just a moment. Welcome back, Rugby Rant fans. Thank you very much to Rugby Now, a special partner. Keeps the lights on. Nevertheless, we're coming in hot, as Scott would say. He's probably got a little bit of a fever tonight. That's why he couldn't join us. He's feeling a little hotter than normal. But we're coming at you with our Rugby Rant segment. And the topic for today, of course, is week one. In the MLR 2024, each of us are going to take a spin at our good from the week, our bad from the weekend, I should say, and our ugly from the weekend, talk a little bit about those, and just get our perspective. So I'm going to start first with Darryl McCormick. Darryl McCormick, you're going to get the first shot at the good.
That's the good.
Right. Of week one in MLR 2024.
Well, that's easy for me. So we're going to start with the good in Charlotte, North Carolina. So the inaugural home game of Anthem Rugby Carolina. And it came off very, very well. We got lucky. We had some good weather. It was a beautiful, beautiful night. And crowd, we had an official number of 2,307 people, which actually it felt a lot like a lot more people, because the crowd was loud. And as I mentioned earlier, they'd done a really good job with ticket sales, and they ended up putting everybody on the same side. So everybody was compact. So it was more of a party atmosphere. We had clubs sitting over here, different clubs, and kids ended up in a corner and took all the shirts off, waving the towels. It was just a great atmosphere. And everybody was just super excited. So I think they pulled it off in a great way. And then the team, you know, I mean, nobody was really, you know, holding out a lot that the team was going to, you know, beat the reigning champions, but they played really spunky. I was actually pleasantly surprised that I didn't think they'd even score a try, but they ended up scoring two tries. And so it was really exciting. The crowd really got behind it. So it was a ton of fun and a great way to start professional rugby in Charlotte.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out, by the way, to Tyron Aljibori, LU guy, scoring that try. It was a pretty try, maybe possibly offsides, but I'm glad the TMOs. I mentioned it last week in the rant that there's kind of been the head of officials, Wilkinson, has said, look, it's clear and obvious is kind of the name of the game for the TMO to call down to the field and want to review something. So unless it's clear and obvious, they won't call down and they kind of let the boys play. And I think we saw that carried out throughout the weekend. The TMO kind of kept themselves out of it. And that's to say that, you know, the official could call up if he wants to review something, but they're not going to insert themselves in the game. I think that was pretty cool in that particular try. Awesome stuff, Daryl.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a blast.
Good, good. We'll hope it continues. And as it grows, hopefully we see those crowds get bigger and bigger each week. So
absolutely.
All right, Grand Poobah, what do you got, my man?
I was going to say the good for me was the fact that the vast majority of the matches were incredibly tight. I think two matches came down to, you know, last minute scores, you know, either by drop goal or a try within like the last, I think, 5 or so minutes. So you love to see that, you know, that happening. The other thing that I love to see was, you know, the disbursement of, you know, the Rugby New York players. It was cool to see them, you know, out playing for their new teams. The biggest fear that everyone had going into the season was, you know, two teams drop, another team moves. Is the quality of play going to drop as well? But with two teams dispersing those players, it seems like the quality of play is actually only improved. And hopefully we see some, you know, a lot more great games throughout the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the league did a very good job. Scott and I talked about it last week, is that, you know, week one, we had all conference games where all the teams were playing within the conference, which was pretty cool. We like to see that. All right. So that was awesome. And it is good to see the Rugby New York guys spread around and finding good homes. And we have a couple of them here in Chicago that I've had a great opportunity to talk with.
I was going
to
say, it was great to see. I think the two things that stood out in my mind was in the Miami game, I think Ben Benasso jumped over a ruck to try and punch what seemed like punch Dylan Fawcett in the face, which I thought was hysterical. And then in the LA game, I think Jason Emery did the crossfield kick right into Andrew Coe's, you know, hands for a try. So it was like they never, you know, stopped playing for Rugby New York. It just, you know, just moved to a different team. So it was great to see that, you know, same old, same old.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so what did I select as my good? It's funny, we each kind of had a different take on the weekend. For me, my good was the Seattle-San Diego game. It was one of the games that, as we talked about it several weeks ago, we were looking at the calendar and, you know, what games would we watch? You know, we obviously watch our favorites. My loyalties are split between the Hounds and NOLA Gold, so I'm watching two games every weekend for sure. But what other games would I pay attention to? And that was the one I had ticked on my calendar, Seattle and San Diego. It's always a hot match. It's always a contested match. So I selected this. I thought that the defending Western champs would have the edge going into this one. They only lost one match last season, but Seattle pulled it out 25-19. Although San Diego got that bonus point by keeping it tight within seven. Seattle was limited to, you know, a four point win. They didn't get a bonus point. So that, I think we're going to see a tight race in the West. Right. So that's pretty cool. And like I said, San Diego had one loss last year, 2023. Here it is week one. They already have a loss. So let's see what happens from there. And there were a lot of cool moments, big hits, one by Joe Taifete. I mean, he just lit somebody up and the ball went to spilling. And it was like that for, you know, the first 20 minutes, they just got some great hits. You know, Poitevin was in there. He's one of my favorites to watch. And then that moment where Henderson kicks the, what we thought would be the go ahead penalty. Right. And he turns to the Seattle crowd and does one of these, right, to shut down the 16th man. And then Seattle comes back and wins the game. And they kind of get the last laugh. I mean, that to kind of sum up Mikey, that is what defined the weekend. And if we have 18 weeks of that, my God, we're going to love it.
Let it begin.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. All right, let's go back the other way. Mikey, give me your bad.
I was going to say, I had two bads, and one, I don't even know if it was really that bad. It's just rusty play on both players and refs. It just seems like, you know, it's the beginning of the season. We're going to see that rusty play. You know, refs maybe making a little iffy calls, maybe missing a couple of things, you know, not in, you know, the full step. Same with players, not really, you know, doing what they should do. I don't know if that's a bad as much as it is just it is what it is. The thing that I think, though, was bad was, you know, you had two matches that ended up starting after 10 o'clock on the West, on the East Coast. On Saturday and Sunday, I was fortunate enough to play rugby this past weekend. I stayed up and I ended up falling asleep to the San Diego Seattle game. I woke up in the middle of the night at around 12 o'clock and the game was still being played. I'm, what the heck is going on? So I saw the final 10 minutes, which is kind of cool. I was like, oh, I guess it's still playing on my phone. I guess I'll watch this, but, like, you know, for, you know, East Coast times, it was just horrible to, you know, have two games past, you know, 10 o'clock. So that was really bad for me.
Well, yeah, I can't argue with that. But, you know, you got to see the most important part at the very end.
Exactly.
Fast forward to the end.
Yeah.
That's like, my mind told me, wake up, you got to see this.
So I think it was John Thurgood said, that would be called bad. all right, Daryl McCormick, what do you got for your bad from week one?
My bad. You know, I watched the Miami game and or most of it. And, you know, the announcers, I believe, are Argentinian, I think. Heavy Latin accents, which is, I mean, considering the market, it's perfect for the market. I just don't know how it played in Peoria, if you will, because the accents were pretty thick. But I mean, they know the game. They obviously called it well. I just thought it was I didn't expect that. And so I thought it was not really bad, I guess. It just was, you know, those of us who watch a lot of international rugby, we're used to that. I mean, I've watched games in, you know, Italian, you know, so because we just watched the game. But I just thought it just felt kind of odd, and it was a little hard to follow them at times, but that's, I mean, that's not super bad, but I just found it a little awkward.
Yeah. Super bad's a movie though, just in case. At any rate, yeah, it's interesting. By the way, that was the Chicago game, just so you know.
Yes. So,
but no, I think it's rather interesting.
Is that who they were playing again?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a debate, right? Because on one hand, like, if you think about baseball, baseball is very regional. Unless it's the game of the week, yeah, you get the regional call, or the local call, because it's more of a regional game. You know, you don't get or like when you used to watch Cubs games on WGN, you know, somebody in Phoenix was, you know, from Chicago could watch the Cubs game. They get the Cubs announcers, right? Or it's like listening to the radio call, right? If you're on XM or something like that, you're getting the local call. So there's going to be homerism. Right. Which we get. Right. And we get that actually, if you watch Utah or when I made the call NOLA, it was hard not to show your spirit, your colors when you actually support a team. So it's kind of that eternal debate. What do you know, which do you like? And then on the other hand, like, hopefully they're not speaking to their market, right? Their market's in the stadium.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of that interesting debate. You raise a great point. I love it. My bad. I'm going to go to the same game, the Chicago game. And, my bad's a 30 minute, thunderstorm delay. And I'm not blaming my bad on anybody. Mother Nature is Mother Nature, and you can't control it. You can only deal with it. It was a rain-soaked Miami opener, and that's what I'm saying. It wasn't on anybody's fault. I wish they would have had better weather for their opener, just like Carolina did. I just feel bad for them, right? But in spite of that, they had a great crowd, it looked like. Yeah. Their owners outside soaking it in, just like every other fan, which was cool too. Kudos to him, wrapped up outside in the elements, sucking it up just like all the rest of the fans did. He gets a good mark from me. Okay. If there is, but you know, speaking to Mike's point earlier, the handling was sloppy. The weather intensified that. Otherwise it should have been a very open, high octane match, I would have suspected. Here was what I think was bad. And again, I think it speaks to the weather, not that I'm blaming it on the teams. The ball in play, 27 minutes, 15 seconds, right? Ball in play. At the international level, folks are looking for an 80-minute game. They're looking for about 41 to 42 minutes, right? That's international level. For context, the 2023 final, granted, two of the best teams, one very defensive, one very offensive. That was, by context, 41 minutes ball in play. So it gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're looking for at that high level in the MLR and where things were last night. That being said, I think the next highest ball in play, the highest ball in play of the weekend was 33 minutes, 39 seconds. So, you know, maybe it's a product of what Mike spoke to earlier. The Grand Poobah definitely had his Poobah hat on when he was talking about, knocking the rust off and getting through that first match. So that's my bad. All right, we're going to go back around, pick up where we left off. Daryl McCormick, give us your ugly.
Yeah, well, we'll just carry the theme of sloppy play. It's the first game of the year. Players haven't been together all that long. But what was most concerning for me is just the lack of backline attack I would have liked to see more tries. Now, sometimes, like in Seattle and San Diego game, the weather was not great. Miami, Chicago, obviously, it was very wet conditions. So you're going to, you know, expect some drop balls. But some of the other games just around the league, the ones that I've been able to watch so far, it's just a ton of drop balls and not all from player impact hits either. It's just friggin' dropping the ball. But I'm mostly concerned about the lack of producing tries and the fact that a lot of teams struggle to put effective phases together and just, you know, make it all happen in a smooth way. I'm sure it'll get better as the season goes on, but my goodness, it's tough to watch, you know, when they're still not gelling yet. So that was my ugly.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because as you're talking, I'm like, yeah, you know, is that a product of not having much of a preseason where, you know, some of the teams had two preseason games? I know that when I spoke with Corey Brown, the head coach of the Noel Gold last week, he said it was frustrating that Old Glory didn't have any preseason games from which to look at any video or get a sense for what the team was like. So, you know, maybe as we move forward, hopefully see a bit more preseason, some of that rust that Mikey spoke about, it gets knocked off earlier. So now the ugly, Mikey, what do you got?
I think there was only one truly ugly thing, and that was the LA versus Dallas match. And I'm not even talking about the play on the field. I am talking about the stadium, the atmosphere, everything surrounding that. From what I can tell, so they played in LA right after the HSBC Sevens. They had maybe 500 people in the stands. Sure. So you just had, you know, the Sevens tournament. You can't capture all those. You didn't capture all those people. That's fine, whatever. That being said, you're trying to play a 15s match after a sevens tournament. I think the sevens tournament that day started at 9:30 a.m. and it finished around 6:45, 6:50, 7 o'clock, at which point you wanted to have a game at 7:45. So it seemed like they tried to squeeze too much too quickly. Apparently it was impossible to get find tickets where they were selling tickets online for the LA game. There were apparently no concessions in the stadium either. So it just seemed like it was they tried to do something where they were trying to, you know, maybe roll all this rugby in together. It backfired on them, and it just it created like what seemed to be a mediocre product at best. Fortunately enough, the game was good, but it didn't seem like anyone was there. And from what we could tell, no one who was there had any actual fun. So,
well, Mike, you and I must, I swear to God, folks, we did not share notes before the show because, he just took everything I was going to say. I would have to agree. I mean, going back to start time, we're talking about, what was it? The game started at 8:30 Eastern.
That game started at 10:45
Eastern time. Therefore, it ended at probably 1:30.
Yeah.
Right? On the East Coast, you know. So how many people are watching that? It's just, oh my God, what such a bad, just bad choice. Crowds weren't good, as Mikey said. Beer sales stopped after the sevens. So there's no beer for sale. What they didn't tell anybody about the tickets is that if you bought a ticket to get a ticket, you had to buy tickets to the LA sevens. So from what some people shared, all the money was going to the LA sevens. It wasn't going at all to LA, to the club. Oh, what a nightmare. I mean, it would be nice to see them market this and organize it a little bit better, but definitely after what, 3 days of sevens, who's going to stick around and watch a 15s match?
Right.
You know? Exactly. So, that was pretty ugly. I agree, Mikey. And, hopefully people learn lessons from these things and don't make the same mistakes moving forward. So, with that, we had the good, bad, or the ugly from the weekend. What matches, are there matches coming up this week that we're looking forward to before we close out today? What are you guys interested in seeing on the week? Have you guys looked at all at matches and what we got cooking for week two?
Yeah, actually, I have not. So I haven't got that far. I was just trying to get through this last weekend. So, I'm embarrassed to say I have not even looked ahead other than, in fact, I don't even know who Anthem plays next weekend. They're on the road, I know, but
they're on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm next pulling up.
I've got it right now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pulling up the schedule. So, what do we got starting week, March 9th, for week two, we got the Free Jacks playing host to Old Glory. I hope the weather is the worst weather known to man. I hope that Free Jacks fans, especially Bozo, suffers miserably in the cold and that he gets frostbite and has to miss week three. And then you got Utah Warriors playing host to the Chicago Hounds at Harriman. Nola Gold, Daryl, Nola Gold.
Okay.
Are playing host to the Anthem.
Okay.
In the gold mine. Seattle once again will play host. They got some snow this last weekend, so it'll be interesting to see the extreme weather that Miami plays in on the bookended weeks here. Mm-hmm. And then I tell you, it looks like an interesting match on March 10th. That would be Sunday at 3:00 Central. Dallas plays host to San Diego. We'll find out if Dallas, the leader. Of the Western Conference, has the ganas to stay up there in the standings against last year's conference champ. RFC LA plays host to the Sabre Kittens, and they the Cats had a nice weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And that rounds out the week. Mikey, you looking forward to any of those? I mean, you're like Switzerland. You're neutral. What are you watching?
Yeah, I was gonna say that LA game against Houston, it might be a good game. You know, we saw like the flashes in the pan that, you know, LA has, especially that first half, but didn't seem like they could finish out that game in the second. So it'd be interesting to see if they could put that all together, you know, play a complete game against Houston. Utah and Chicago as well, I think is going to be another, you know, tight game. I think all the, for what we can tell, all these matchups look great again. If, you know, it's the same thing that happened week one as, you know, it, you know, happens week two. It's anybody, it's a toss up for anybody really.
Yeah. Yeah. Couple. Yeah. So Daryl, you're not making the trip down to the gold mine, I assume.
I'd like to one of these days. I got to for sure. But
yeah,
actually, it'll be interesting because none of the there's only four, maybe five foreign slots on Anthem's side, and none of the players are even, if they're in the States, they're not cleared to play yet. So 100% all American players. And so it'll be kind of interesting to see how they come together, you know, on the road. They could put a little more defense together if they can tighten up their scrums at all. So it'll be a great test, and we'll see how they pull it out. And by the way, I just saw today Sidney Tobias signed with Houston. Sidney played for Atlanta last year and had gone back and signed a contract in South Africa, but apparently he's able to get out of that, so he's come to Houston. So he'll join Johan Mompson, who's also ex Atlanta. So, several more South Africans there. So it'll be fun. I don't know if he'll play this weekend. Probably not. But it's good to see him back in the league because he's a great guy and a great player.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, I mean, if the Anthem have an opportunity to put some points in the, well, that Nola had a pretty solid defense this weekend against Old Glory, but sure didn't put up a lot of points until the end of that second half. So it might be a tighter game than people suspect. We'll see how Nola plays against Anthem, but that'll be an interesting game to watch. I got to tell you, out of this lot, I'll of course watch the Hounds game. That might be the Hounds Warriors game, might be the one that I pay the most attention to, simply because that'll tell us and give us a better barometer for, you know, if the Hounds have reversed their fortunes, like I suspect they have, and are going to really be a team that's going to make a nice run in the postseason. So that'll be interesting. A number of good games, you know, on the slate for this weekend. Check them out. Should be a lot of fun to watch in week two. And folks, you got that merch crawling in to shop MLR, so check it out. There's some good gear. Just make sure that you size up. And I will tell you, if you're ordering hoodies or anything like that, I was down on the gold mine this weekend. So I normally wear in a Paladin, a double X jersey in the game jersey type, to give me a more of a club fit, you know, cause I'm not looking to pull the sweater on and get in the game. But then in the hoodie, the zip down hoodie that they had in the Kappa, I wore a single X in the Paladin. I would put a double X on in the zippered hoodie. So just to give everybody an idea of how to size appropriately, if you're ordering from Shop MLR, so you don't have to send stuff back to get the size that you really want. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate it. I think we had a lot of good, bad, and ugly happening. Hopefully the good gets better, the ugly gets a little less, and you guys get prettier by the day. With good that luck, man. Again, it was great to have you both on. You guys are absolute class individuals whenever you come on here, giving us something that every fan can benefit from dropping your knowledge being dropped from your silvery tongues. And I can't wait to have you guys on throughout the season, because you definitely lend some knowledge and some love of rugby for anybody that's listening. And with that, folks, we appreciate you checking us out this week. Just a reminder, next week we're going to have Stan Vandenhoven joining the show from Miami Sharks. So we'll get them on. I'll have the pleasure of sharing the screen with him, talk a little bit about that rain-soaked affair. And, we'll keep the interviews going as we progress through the season. Looks like we're going to get Nick McCarthy on from the Chicago Hounds, and we'll get some other players from LA and all around the league, so you can get to know the players that are across the league. When they come to town, you can say hi and have a little knowledge about them. With that, I'm Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, joined by Mikey the Grand Poobah Parazzini and Daryl. He needs a nickname, McCormick. And with that, we will see you all at the next.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.